Welcome to the Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Wake Up Call Show, and we appreciate your being with us, and glad you will also support our sponsors and let them know that you've heard their names on CCTA Wake Up Call. I'm Bob Griswold.
Mary Griswold.
Kim Fink.
And Glenn Fink.
Well, Mary.
One of the topics that we're going to talk about today is an article that was in Just the News on July 30th. And the headline was, Harsh Reality, Midwest States Infrastructure Below Average for Transition to Electric Vehicles. That's not good news when the Biden administration is trying to transition us to electric vehicles.
You know, can I digress for just a second? Now, they talk about the Midwest states, and at least as far as the grid is concerned, Texas is its standalone grid. And if we can remember back, and I don't remember whether it was last year or the year before, when they had that really, really cold snap, and the wind and the solar could not keep up with everything. People were flat out freezing. And that is not a good sign in this country.
The other part of it, too, that we need to think about is a good percentage of our states get cold weather in the winter, and these batteries lose their charge in cold winter, in cold weather. So if you're in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan, which doesn't have a really nice climate, you may get 20 miles out of your overnight charge of your EV.
You know, I did a silly meme, I guess it was on Facebook. I said, you know, if you're going to have an EV, then I'm going to demand that you recharge it with wind or solar. but I would suggest that presents a problem, because if we're going to use solar, how are you going to charge your car while you're trying to use your car during the day?
Did anybody read Glenn Beck's Overton Window?
No.
Okay, in that book, there's a process that they call the Overton Window. It's where the big brother of the government pushes a little bit further and a little bit further, and you push it to the limit, and then you push it a little bit further, because society will bend a little bit at a time. But anyhow, in that setting, it's the utopian world where you will have nothing and be happy, but everybody is required to ride a bike that is connected to the grid, and they have to do it for a certain amount of time a day, everybody, to get their food and to get their water, and if they're extra good or if they're pregnant because they're having a fertility issue, surprise, surprise, they'll get an egg, a hard-boiled egg, and that's really special. But the people are literally riding bicycles that are connected to these battery chargers to do their homes.
So our exercise vehicle now is supporting the grid.
It reminds me of Barney and Fred Flintstone. Yeah.
That's what we're coming to.
Well, I haven't done all the details on how they think this electrical system is going to work. But first of all, it's a government down process. So they throw these goals out there without any idea how practical they are, because they don't think about how you design all this stuff in. And from reading this article, it seemed like they think infrastructure means that you pour a pad and you put a charging station in. Now, these things take a lot of power, so you got to get power to those charging stations that's not naturally there already. So you got to go back to some transformer system to bring that out. And that's if it happens to exist there. But if you look at it, all this is new load. 100% of this is not a load that used to be over here and now it got moved. This is changing from fossil fuels directly to an electric grid problem. So the grid's not sized for it. The grid's not sized for it. There's just nothing about this that's practical. And that's the good news. I mean, the good news is their target is they can't even come close. Even if enough people wanted electrical vehicles, they can't even come close to meeting that power requirement.
When we lived in Massachusetts, Massachusetts decided as a state to split out the cost of generation of electricity versus the cost of distribution, knowing that some people are more green-oriented than others. Now, do you want your power generated by a nuclear plant, a coal plant, an oil plant, gas plant, wind, solar, whatever else? You get to choose how you want your power generated, and you're going to pay accordingly. But when it came to distribution, they realized that there's one set of lines coming down the road that everybody's going to get their power from that one set of lines. So you had essentially a flat fee for the distribution, but you could pick your generation method. So people's bills were all over the place. But just as you're saying, that distribution will not take the extra load. We might be able to generate the extra load, but we can't do anything with it.
Yeah, I don't think we can do either. And here's something that I learned, not with this article, but it was on one of the news stations. And that is, there's like a 2-year backlog on connecting solar systems to the grid. You know, that's a regulated process. It takes certain things. Government intervention causes it not to be real straightforward. And so a solar system can be done for over 2 years before they're able to actually connect it to the grid. That's the way the system's working now. And that's before they amp up the attempt to try to get enough sources, power sources on the grid. So the good news is this is going to fail.
And by the way,
it's going to fail miserably.
This past week, apparently, in Georgia, they added the first new nuclear plant to the grid.
I like
it. I don't know how many years, and it's how many decades. It's the first time that they've added a new plant.
Because when you come down to it, nuclear is the cleanest generation of power, and we have the technology now that we didn't have 50 years ago to make it safe. Yeah. And it's interesting, we're talking about this. There are a couple of countries in Europe, I believe it's Germany and Britain, but I'm not positive, that are going back to fossil fuels because they've discovered that green energy doesn't cut it. And the other part of that, too, is we can go do all we want to go to green energy, but we're only a small part of the problem. While we're going to green energy, China is building a new coal plant every week.
Right.
Now, our little solar and windmill thingies are not going to counter their new coal plants every week. We're killing our economy for no apparent reason.
I think there is an apparent reason. I think the apparent reason is the global reset.
Well, that, yes.
I think that the one world order conspiracy of if you lower the economic and the war powers of the U.S., you destroy us, we're on a more even playing field with other less privileged countries. And I think that's more what it's all about. They want everybody to be the same. They want...
And controllable.
It's not about equity and the equality. It's about equal stuff.
It's a race to the bottom is what it is.
But it's also...
Equal misery.
It's also the striving to get America to give up its sovereignty.
Right.
Because we are the obstacle to one world government. We like our freedom. And unfortunately, as has been said, if America fails as a republic and our freedom goes away, there's nowhere to run to.
Which goes back to your electric grid. If you have the electric magnetic pulse,
yes,
and you have no power, China has power,
yeah,
or, you know, think about your banking system then.
You know, we also hear about being ecologically sound as we do this. Now, how many whales have been killed recently? We do know somebody up in Massachusetts, Rhode Island area, that is dealing very, very heavily with the whales that are being killed there and in New Jersey and whatever else. And Megan is... nobody is paying attention to that. None of the studies have actually studied what is the effect of putting in those towers.
Well, it doesn't. That's because that does not follow their message. They know it. They don't want to interject that in because it's a barrier to them moving forward.
Yeah.
Well, today I was listening to the news and they were talking about gas stoves again and our carbon footprint. And I just want to know, are we going to get reparations from Canada for their wildfire smoke that has polluted our entire country all summer?
Now, also to go back to the whales, if that were oil spills,
oh my,
would it have been handled differently?
Oh, yeah.
If it was the threat of an oil spill,
I mean,
it would have been handled
differently.
The
windmills kill eagles. If that was an oil spill, would it be handled differently?
And as I guess as certain birds fly over the solar panels, they become French fried birds immediately.
Yeah.
As they're...
Yeah. Mm.
Yes.
Well, the solar panels oxidize as well. We have the solar light on our flagpole, and it only lasts about a year. If it's taking 2 years for these solar panels to come online, what is their lifespan usable, really?
And they also have a carbon footprint yeah. that is higher than a scrubbed coal plant.
Well, we're going to take a break in just a minute. And a few seconds, and I guess they also opened a recycling plant for solar panels now that's going to handle 65 million tons a year in recycling. That's a lot of recycling. Mm. Folks, we're going to take a quick break to hear from our sponsors and supporters, and thank you for staying with us.
Torque Transmission and Automotive Repair is the transmission physician in the New Bern area. If you're experiencing transmission problems, call Charles Grover at 252-637-2399 or stop by the shop on 17 South in New Bern. Torque can install a new or reconditioned transmission, or they can rebuild your transmission if that's what you prefer. See Torque for a variety of minor automotive repairs like brakes, tune-ups, and water pump. You can count on Torque Transmission and Automotive Repair.
Hey folks, here's a tip. When you think firearms and ammo, think E70 Palm. They've been on Highway 70 east of New Bern across from the fairgrounds for 31 years. Drew Preston and his staff know firearms. Gun sales have tripled in under a year, and women shooters are the fastest growing part of their business. Their great inventory, over 300 guns in stock, changes daily. And if you want something they don't have, they'll look for it. New and used, rifles, shotguns, and pistols, buy, sell, or trade. And they also have many holsters, scopes, and other gun accessories. Every member of the staff is deeply knowledgeable, and every one of them is an excellent shooter. So don't just come for the inventory, come for the thoughtful advice. E70 Palm, your home for firearms, ammo, and answers. Highway 70 East, New Bern, across from the fairgrounds.
For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out rightwinggranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to rightwinggranny.com.
Moore's Old Time Barbecue is slow cooked and smoked over hickory in the tradition of the Moore's family for over 70 years. Moore's also serves fried chicken, cooked to order seafood, and homemade side dishes. Open 7 days a week in New Bern, Winterville, Moorhead City, Swansboro, and Jacksonville. Moore's will cater and deliver anywhere you want your truly traditional barbecue and fixings delivered. And remember, if it's not Moore's, it's less.
Welcome back, and thank you for staying with us. And Mary, I'm going to turn it over to you.
As the 2024 campaign season continues, I don't think it ever stopped after 2020, the Biden administration is talking about Bidenomics, and they are very impressed with what they have done in the way of Bidenomics, and the economy is wonderful. Those of us who are paying grocery bills and gasoline bills might argue with that, but they're happy with it. Well, oil prices jumped nearly 4% last week, and the price at the pump hit a national average of $3.75. That is the highest average since November 2022. And global oil prices are up because OPEC has cut its production. And of course, America is no longer energy independent. We don't have the clout that we had before to tell OPEC not to cut. The Biden administration has soured our relationship with Saudi Arabia, and they are interfering in the relationship between Saudi Arabia and Israel, which is not a good thing.
Well, Mary, one of the other factors, again, apparently we have reached the minimum oil reserve allowed by Congress, so we don't have any wiggle room.
He can't tap into the oil reserves to cut the price anymore.
I didn't know that.
And we haven't refilled anything because the price has stayed high. Now, if you remember, when Donald Trump was in office, he refilled the strategic petroleum.
When it was almost nothing on some of that. They had some oil cargo ships that was literally small amounts of money because of how crazy that market got.
Well, as soon as America became energy independent, the price of oil dropped because we can support ourselves. We don't need to be dependent on OPEC. And the problem with our being dependent on OPEC is that it affects us diplomatically. We have to be careful whose feet we step on and who we're nice to. And one of the reasons that we have had the relationship up until the Biden administration that has been so tolerant of Saudi Arabia is that Saudi Arabia has backed us in making sure that oil would get traded in American dollars. And that is starting to go away. And this is going to be a horrible blow to the American economy.
Well, what's interesting to me on the Bidenomics thing is there's no cause and effect being discussed about what drives Bidenomics.
Mm-hmm.
They threw a term out there, and they're claiming success in how our economy is moving and changing. But it's not moving in the right direction. Bottom up, sides in, sides out. Nothing positive's going on about it. So they don't show any cause and effect. We did these things that actually caused a better economic circumstance that we're choosing to call Bidenomics. It's just, they're just throwing a term out there without, you know, even defining how we got from A to B. It's just crazy.
Well, along with that, we also, at least from my perspective, we don't know what is included with calculating the inflation factor. I mean, we know that medical costs are not in there. I believe that fuel costs are not in there. I'm not sure whether household mortgages or anything like that are have been, quote, removed because they're not stable. Well, guess what? The whole thing about inflation is it's not stable.
Well, one of the things that's going on right now is that the Biden administration is operating under something called modern monetary theory, MMT. And that is an economic theory that suggests that the government can simply create more money, print as much as they want without consequences, because they're the ones that are issuing the currency. And the government deficits and national debt don't really matter. Well, I think we're finding out that that doesn't work. You know, that you can't when you endlessly print money, you get inflation. And that's what we're dealing with now. So this modern monetary theory is not working.
Well, I think money theory from the very beginning is suspect, back to the Jekyll Island and the creation mm-hmm. of the Federal Reserve.
Yes.
If you look at the difference between money and currency, currency has an intrinsic value and there's something behind it where money on paper is worth paper. And it's really quite the scam, because the people in the banking industry, they're not accountable, either elected or via, they regulate themselves. They're not really regulated through the government system. The Federal Reserve isn't federal, but it's also international. There's your commercial bank, and then there's industrial banks, and then there's clearinghouse banks, and then there's the Foreign Monetary Fund, and they're all connected, and it goes to the Rothschilds, and money.
Bob's.
Yeah, but I'm reading a book right now called 180 Degrees, and this book is basically everything that I felt was a truth is 180 degrees different. And I just finished the chapter on money, interestingly enough. But it talks about how we create money out of nothing, and the banks take the money and loan it out and collect interest, and that's how they make their money, is on the interest. So how this country will be destroyed is by its debt.
What happened during the Nixon administration is he took us off the gold standard.
Correct.
And that was, as far as I'm concerned, the beginning of the end.
Well, this book indicates that maybe the cryptocurrency could be the savior, because it can't be manipulated like the dollar.
And you know, as you mentioned, the banks are only required to keep a certain percentage of the money on board. Now, I'm going to go back probably almost 45 years, 50 years, pretty good, when I was working in the Cambridge, Massachusetts, and had a friend of mine that worked for the Boston Federal Reserve Bank. And the Federal Reserve is required to have everybody reconcile their account every day. All the individual banks have to reconcile their accounts every day. There was a situation when the interest was very high, and by the way, folks, interest is high now, but where the situation was very, very high back then, and there was a bank that refused to reconcile. Over the weekend, because they didn't reconcile, they were charged like $3 million as a penalty. However, because they didn't reconcile, they made pretty close to $60 million by not reconciling. So it's a game. Wow. It is a game. You just got to know how to play it. Mm. And now, again, this goes back into the days of inflation, which I guess was 78 through 80 or something like that.
We bought our first house in 81, and we paid 21% interest.
Ouch!
Yeah, and we built a building up in Cambridge, Massachusetts for 3 points over prime, and prime went to 18.5, so just as you're saying. Yeah.
Well, we bought the house in Massachusetts in 1978 and paid 8.5%. And thought we were being robbed, because before that we had a VA loan that was 5.75%.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. So money is a money versus, as you said, the value or the currency or whatever else. Or folks, how about the bartering systems? I mean, there's a lot of bartering that goes on that does not go through currency, money, or the tax system.
And I think that's alive and well, and I think it's going to continue to get stronger. I mean, I would venture to say that the drug cartels are getting richer and richer and richer, the human trafficking, because all of that money is hidden.
And how many times we know from experience that sometimes a corporation will hire an illegal alien and pay them under the table, so they don't have to deal with Social Security taxes, they don't have to deal with income tax. At one point, I quit a job at a landscape firm because I saw their payroll, and I just said, I can't do this. I'm sorry. I didn't want to be around when they got raided. Mm-hmm. And but he had illegal aliens working for him, and he was not deducting taxes, and he was paying them below the minimum wage, and he was making out like a bandit.
Well, I think it's not like the government isn't aware of all these things that cut them out of their taxes and all. And, you know, their strategy will be to continue. There'll always be black markets, but they're going to continue to, through the digital electronic stuff, keep throwing a tighter net around that stuff to recover.
And that could be a segue into our marijuana topic. I think the reason that government wants to get involved with that is because they want their percent.
They want their cut, yeah.
And that's it's funny, the states that have legalized it have found out that the problems that come with legalizing it are not worth the tax revenue, particularly the driving under the influence problems and the hospitalizations of kids who got into mom and dad's brownies and things like that. So there are some serious problems that go with that.
And, you know, as they legalize it and they decide that they need to have permits in order to grow it, permits to harvest it, permits to move it around, permits to track it or whatever else, well, folks don't want to pay for those permits. So let's have an underground system that competes with the, quote, legal system.
And yep, can see that.
Okay, so folks, I think we're going to take another quick break, and we will be right back. Again, we appreciate your frequenting our sponsors and just telling them that you heard about them on CCTA Wake Up Call.
People who learn to do something well and do it often get very good at it. Dr. Jay Singleton and his staff spend a lot of time removing cataracts, and they are good at it. Dr. Singleton has been doing a high volume of these procedures for 15 years. Let's face it, once we turn 50, the chances are we'll soon need cataract surgery. Fortunately, the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern, and the state-of-the-art Singleton Surgery Center is bringing costs down for patients and participating insurance companies. For dedication, experience, and convenience, you can trust the Singleton team. Dr. Jay Singleton and the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern. For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out rightwinggranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to rightwinggranny.com.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business. It's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
Welcome back, and thank you for staying with us. And I'm going to turn it back over to Mary.
Recently, the Epoch Times posted an article that talked about the cases of cannabis poisoning has increased after marijuana has been legalized and decriminalized. And it has increased threefold, and people are being poisoned by overdoses of this stuff. And what has happened is that because it's available in edibles, kids don't understand that, you know, this is mom and dad's stash and you need to stay out of it. And they grab it. And also, over smoking it can also have effects. They talk about trouble walking, sitting up, or even breathing can happen. And sometimes it may take hours for those things to subside. And emergency hospitalization can be required. Mm.
Well, if they put cannabis in chocolate, I'd be in big trouble.
Unfortunately, that's what they do. They put it in brownies.
And the kids take them to school.
Yeah, not realizing that mom and dad's brownies might not be brownies. It's like Jell-O shots. Mm-hmm. You know, it's kind of the same thing. But children are at risk the majority of the poisonings are edibles that children mistakenly take. And in states where marijuana has been legalized, the number of DUI situations has drastically increased. Because remember, the claim is that marijuana doesn't impact you. It does.
What's the status of the medical marijuana use in our state? What did the General Assembly decide to do with that? Does anyone know?
I don't think it ever passed. I don't think it's dead forever. But it's just not.
No, it will probably show up.
Another year, probably.
Yeah. And unfortunately, it may be destined at some point to pass. And that is not good news.
And we know that it has a lot of support within the General Assembly, and it's a mixed support or whatever else. One of the things we did an earlier show on the marijuana, we had representatives from the Canine Corps here, as well as a distributor of the CBD,
of legal
legalized CBD. But the problem is that if you've got a dog, that canine, that's trained for the cannabis. How does the dog know the difference between illegal and legal cannabis?
That officer indicated that they can't tell the difference.
They can't tell the difference. And so we're creating a whole different set of retirements for the dogs because of their training.
And the other part of that, too, is that if you make marijuana legal, you have to get rid of your dogs that are trained to sniff it and replace them. And a drug dog with the training can run $20,000 a dog. Now, we have been very lucky in Craven County that our sheriff's department has gotten dogs that other departments have retired because they're not young or something like that. And we've really been careful. And, of course, the Friends of Craven County Sheriff's Office have supplied a lot of money to do this. But if marijuana becomes legal in North Carolina, it's going to set up some major expenses for Craven County that will definitely outrank any tax benefit that we might get from it. Mm-hmm. You know, there are some pretty serious strings attached here.
I think as we've heard from the area, whether it's Craven or Pamlico or Carteret County, I mean, much of our objective is we know that we're not going to stop the use of drugs or whatever else, but we'd like to make this to be a very unfriendly territory. Yes. for the various drugs.
What is the rationalization for the legal marijuana? Is it supposed to be at a pharmaceutical sense safer than some of the other pain medications? What is the big draw to it?
The arguments being used to justify medical marijuana are actually the same arguments that were used for OxyContin. They're claiming that it's not addictive, which it is. They're claiming that it doesn't have side effects, which it does.
I read it kills brain cells.
Yes.
Again, I don't know whether that's age dependent or whether it's, a younger forming brain is, you give the youngsters alcohol or whatever else, and it will modify, I guess, the growth of their brain. We talk about, we have a senator here who is a supporter because he has a daughter that needs relief from pain with her cancer, and we can't argue with that compassion, but yet we can argue about the legalization and
what will happen as a result of that.
I can't help but feel that there's already pain medication out there that would do the same thing that's already legal.
Yes.
That wouldn't lead to criminal activity or other addictions.
We don't need another brain-altering substance to be legal. Unfortunately, when you see all these vape shops opening up, that's what they're anticipating. Now, we had a situation in Massachusetts. There was a kid on our street who was 16 who was addicted to marijuana. He came home every day from school with bloodshot eyes and the whole bit. Now, eventually he got his act together. He literally found Jesus and got cleaned up. He's in his 60s now. And as a result of that, whether it was the marijuana or the chemicals in it, because obviously he was buying street drugs, he has serious neurological issues. Mm-hmm. And I believe that's a result of all those, because there was probably 5 years of him being addicted to marijuana. I didn't know how he got through high school.
Pretty good, man.
Fast times at Ridgemont High.
And his comment was, he went to a private Catholic school where you would think that this wouldn't be a problem. And at one point he told me, no, it was actually more of a problem because the kids generally had more disposable income that they could spend on drugs. Mm. And that the drug problem in that private Catholic school was probably more serious than in the public schools. Yeah. So you're not safe from it. Of course, marijuana is now legal in Massachusetts, and we still have a daughter up there. And I said to her at one point, how do you keep your kids away from this stuff? Because it's not legal until you're 21. And you know, maybe your teenage years were different, but you know that a lot of kids didn't wait till they were of age to take their first drink.
Oh, I did. You didn't know my dad.
But you probably had friends that didn't.
I think I married one.
And I hate to say it, I went away to college on a drinking scholarship. Yeah. It did not work out.
But the drinking age in New York at that point was 18.
Yeah, but I wasn't.
Mm. Oh, well.
Understood. Mm.
Well, that reminds me of when our kids were growing up, Glenn told the children, don't think you're going to pull the wool over my eyes because I've done it all.
Well, that makes sense. I mean, you know what you did. And, you know, our kids sometimes don't realize we weren't born yesterday and that we were teenagers once and did stupid things. And we're trying to protect them from doing the same stupid things.
Nothing says we stop doing stupid things. So.
Yes, that's
true. Yeah, Glenn always says that aging is inevitable, but maturing is optional.
That's right.
Also,
that's right.
As we age, we still do stupid things, but we do them more slowly.
That's true.
That's right.
Hallelujah.
Now, Mary's trying to push me to take a break, but we're 4 minutes early. So
okay, so I'm going to start. We've heard a lot about the 2020 election. A couple of weeks ago, we did a show with Doug Gould, who is a cybersecurity guy who understands a lot of the mechanics of that election and a lot of the things that went wrong. But the Gateway Pundit on July 31st posted an article about a forensic study into the 2020 election in Detroit that found up to 34,000 illegal ballots. And if you remember right, that was the place where they put the blocks over the window so the observers couldn't see what was going on. I know that that's just an incredible coincidence that they blocked the observers and then now they have all those illegal ballots. But and they also said that thousands of absentee paper ballots were different than normal ballots. If you remember the commission that was formed, and I don't remember which president formed it, it included Jimmy Carter, and he made the comment that the easiest way to cheat in an election is with absentee ballots.
Yeah.
And in many cases, you had turnout of 105%. Now, that's just really amazing. I mean, all those dedicated voters, so many that you add more votes than people. I mean, I'm impressed. Mm.
And the push to have more and more mail-in and absentee, and the states that send the ballots to everybody without a request. One of the things that was addressed in this particular article talked about trying to reconcile the requested ballots with the returned ballots and how those numbers didn't align.
And they're also, as you get a returned ballot, they've reduced from having a signature and a witness to just having a signature, and then we're not even going to bother to check the validity of that signature, and we're not going to challenge it in any way, shape, or form.
Well, we saw the movie 2000 Mules,
right,
where they talked about stuffing the mail-in right. ballot boxes, and I really think we need to find a way to make that, number one, a criminal offense and prosecute it.
There was a meme on Facebook just yesterday, and it had a dollar bill, and it really impressed me. I read it to Glenn. It said, if every dollar bill can have a serial number, so can a ballot.
Yes.
So, you know, the technology exists to do it, but you got to want to.
Yeah. And if we don't have elections that we trust, what do we have as a representative republic?
It's not a representative republic.
Exactly. It's a little scary. It really is.
Well, it's more than scary. I honestly feel that that's where we're at. I mean, I believe there was enough nefarious things that happened in this last election, and the Mules video, you know, captured it.
Well, it's
reality, whether some folks want to believe it or not. Did it affect things to the point that it made a difference? They say the numbers look like yes. So I think it's very plausible. And if it's plausible, then we need to fix it.
All you had to do was look at the difference in attendance at Joe Biden's rallies and Donald Trump's rallies. I mean, that was your clue.
Mm-hmm. Well, Hillary Clinton's comment about we have to fix this, I think they did.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Fix it.
Yeah, they did. Yeah, they fixed it. Folks, we're going to take another quick break to hear from our sponsors and supporters. Please stay with us. Thank you.
Transmission and Automotive Repair is the transmission physician in the New Bern area. If you're experiencing transmission problems, call Charles Grover at 252-637-2399 or stop by the shop on 17 South in New Bern. Torque can install a new or reconditioned transmission, or they can rebuild your transmission if that's what you prefer. See Torque for a variety of minor automotive repairs like brakes, tune-ups, and water pump. You can count on Torque Transmission and Automotive Repair.
For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out rightwinggranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to rightwinggranny.com.
The God and Country Christian Alliance has a simple mission, but it is a profound one. They want to inform and educate the public on issues of moral and political concern. They want to restore the Judeo-Christian values upon which this nation was founded to all levels of government. And they want to encourage and activate pro-family voters. Simple, but not easy. The God and Country Christian Alliance meets the third Monday of every month at Moore's Barbecue on MLK in New Bern. Meetings begin promptly at 7 p.m. and end by 8:30. To enjoy dinner with the group before the meeting, arrive between 6 and 6:30. Both the food and the company are good. Meetings include speakers and discussion, and their annual banquets are legendary. Join them on the third Monday of each month for a refreshingly candid view of the world and our place in it.
Just who are these people doing this CCTA program? They're people like you, a photographer, someone that ran their own business, someone retired from the military. Just people in the community that love this country and have a desire to do their part to lower taxes and shrink government, to protect individual liberty, and to preserve the U.S. Constitution and free enterprise system. We welcome you to come out to a meeting. If you like what you see and hear, there's a place where you can contribute to the cause. To learn more, go to cctaxpayers.com. That's cctaxpayers.com. The group meets every third Tuesday at Stanley Hall Ballroom in downtown New Bern to enjoy a fantastic speaker and report on CCTA activity since the last meeting. If you've been disappointed with rising taxes and government intrusion, don't just complain. Join Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association and make your voice heard.
Welcome back. We appreciate your staying with us. I'm going to turn it again to Mary. Go for it.
I want to talk about the quote that Kim referenced just before we went to break. There are two quotes from Hillary Clinton that I think need to be looked at. And the first one is documented in a book by Donna Brazile. And it was stated on election night in 2016 as Trump was winning. And Hillary is quoted as saying, "You better fix this. If he wins, we are all going to hang." Well, when you lose an election in America, you don't hang. So what was she referring to? That was the first one. And then the second quote was when she was being investigated for something or other, and I don't even remember what it was, and this is not an exact quote, but she said something to the effect, "If I go down, I'm taking everyone with me." Now, is that what we're looking at with the Bidens? If Joe Biden goes down and Hunter Biden goes down, how much of Washington goes down with him?
I think that's a big part of it, and I think Jeffrey Epstein comes to mind.
Yes, because we've never gotten that client list. And I suspect that Ghislaine Maxwell will stay alive as long as we don't have that client list.
Well, actually, this could be a very favorable outcome, because if most of Washington goes down, there might be some honest folks
caught up in
that.
Elected?
Well, or there might be some honest people that get caught in that net. But I'm saying, you know, that this could be a very favorable outcome.
We might wind up with some honest people elected.
Yes. But with what I was saying before about the Great Reset and One World Order, part of that is to have both parties so equally aligned that no matter who you elect, the agenda moves forward.
That goes back to a Carol Quigley quote from the 1960s.
That's exactly what it was.
Where he said, if you throw the bums out and you elect new bums, it shouldn't make a difference in policy.
Yep.
That's not an exact quote, but that was the
tragedy and hope.
Yes. And that's where we are.
That's right.
But
uniparty.
It scares me to think how many people are involved in Washington corruption. How many times does someone go to Washington middle class and within 5 years they're a multimillionaire?
Bought and paid for.
I mean, I don't mean to pick on anybody, but I'm going to. Manchin lives on an $800,000 houseboat in Washington, off Washington, and drives a Maserati. That's amazing on a senator's salary.
Yeah.
And plus maintains a residence in his home state. I mean,
a lot of their wealth comes from, quote, speaking fees. And then I think that that's another term for that would be, money laundering.
Like Hunter's art?
Yes. But some of the stuff that they make money on, they're able to write a book. Or, you know, they're selling their brand, like what the Biden name is doing now. But when they do that, it's like a wink, wink kind of acceptance.
Yes.
But when you go in at $170,000 salary and come out as a gazillionaire, you can't help but stop and see, okay, what kind of insider trading was going on there?
That too,
With the stock market. And what regulations did you know was coming before it hit? And what licenses are going to happen? Look what happened with fracking. You know, when we were energy independent, and how there were more jobs than people could fill in the Dakotas because of drilling and stuff. Even in Pennsylvania with the Utica Shale, there was a lot of stuff going on. Well, then it gets shut down. But, you know, those big people, they didn't go broke.
Well, the other thing that went on, too, you had, I'm trying to think, oh, yeah, Hunter Biden was on the board of one of the banks, that does credit cards. I don't remember which one it was. And oddly enough, during the time he was on that board, Joe Biden passed a regulation to allow the interest rates on credit cards to override state usury laws.
The state usury laws limited it to a maximum of 18%.
And but now during the time that Hunter was on that board, those limits just went away.
You know, along with that, Now, we know that Hunter was on with the, was it Burisma?
Burisma.
Okay, and they had the partner from Burisma, I'm going to say in quotes, testify this past
Devin
week.
Devin Archer.
Yeah. However, he was never sworn in, so it's not sworn testimony. Help.
What?
Help. It's not sworn testimony.
And the other side of that, though, is that you can't lie to Congress. So that's still they're still caught in a statute of sorts that he can't lie to them, even though he wasn't sworn in.
But Congress can lie to us.
Well, there you go. We talked about the benefits of being in Congress, didn't we?
I mean, certainly Adam Schiff comes to mind.
Well, if people would look at campaign finance reports, and if those were easier to find, I mean, you can find them in our state. It's not easy, but you can find them, and you can almost tell how someone's going to vote based on where their money comes from.
You can find them at opensecrets.org. That is a place where you can get hold of them. And the other place, it's a very interesting place to go through, is called Follow the Networks. And I don't remember whether it's .com or .org, but it's an amazing website. Mm-hmm. It tells you who's connected and how. Before we close, I want to mention an article from the Epoch Times. There was something leaked from the Special Prosecutor's Office that said that Trump deleted the security tapes from Mar-a-Lago.
No, I think it said Trump demanded that somebody delete them.
Yes. Yes. Well, evidently, Trump is claiming they were not deleted, that they were turned over. And unfortunately, the person who was supposed to have been ordered to delete them is now under questioning and whatever, and I'm quite frankly wondering what kind of pressure is being put on this person to say something that may or may not be true.
And the tapes were turned over.
Yes, they were turned over.
Well, so they may be deleted. Trump just didn't do it.
That's a real possibility. This is an effort to influence the 2024 election. This is all political. It is all bogus. And a friend of ours who's a lawyer in Florida wrote an article at Substack about some of the problems with this whole case against Donald Trump. And one of the things he brings out is that the indictments are supposed to be issued in the place where the crime occurred. And the only way that they got around this was by appointing a special prosecutor. That prosecutor has nationwide jurisdiction. However, the Department of Justice's own regulations still require that indictments come from a grand jury impaneled within the district of the crime. So by moving the grand jury to Washington, he's putting it in a place where 5% of people vote Republican, rather than in Florida, which is a place where they know Donald Trump, and they appreciate some of the things he has done. Just for the record, I know that one of the charges against Donald Trump in campaigns has been that he's a racist. He literally fought City Hall to make Mar-a-Lago open to Jews and blacks. And it was a fight. He is not a racist. He's one of the people who fought for equal rights. Mm-hmm. Donald Trump is expected to go to trial for the classified documents case next May. That's going to be as the primaries are taking place. This is obvious election interference. It's obviously political. You do notice that we haven't heard a thing from the special prosecutor that is supposed to be investigating Joe Biden's having classified documents. And Joe Biden took those classified documents when he was vice president.
What about Mike Pence?
Haven't heard a thing, have we?
And I believe he was in office at the same time Trump was.
That's true.
And did not have any right to take them.
And evidently some of the ones Joe Biden took, he took as a senator, when again, they were not supposed to be removed from the SCIF.
Nothing to see here, folks. We keep moving on.
The ends justify the means.
There was some discussion, I might have seen it in the article, where these things, these indictments are stacked so close together, you can't prepare properly, because usually you get indicted for one thing. Mm-hmm. When you're indicted for three or four things, how do you prepare for something that's scheduled here and then here, and then you've got a campaign going on? So it's heresy.
And the potential heresy. The potential of a judge trying to put a gag order on a candidate.
Okay, so I'm going to change the subject now and talk about our next CCTA meeting on August 15th. Our guest speaker is John Hardister, the NC House Majority Whip. And he will be talking about the legislative session, some of the things that went on, some of the bills that came up, some of the votes that were taken. And the meeting is free. It takes place at Stanley Hall Ballroom at 7 o'clock on August 15th. It is open to the public, and the public will have a chance to ask Mr. Hardister questions after he makes his presentation. And we invite everyone to come and join us and be part of the meeting.
The CCTA wake-up call. Thank you again for staying with us. We appreciate your listening.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business. It's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
Moore's Old Time Barbecue is slow cooked and smoked over hickory in the tradition of the Moore's family for over 70 years. Moore's also serves fried chicken, cooked to order seafood, and homemade side dishes. Open 7 days a week in New Bern, Winterville, Moorhead City, Swansboro, and Jacksonville. Moore's will cater and deliver anywhere you want your truly traditional barbecue and fixings delivered. And remember, if it's not Moore's, it's less.
County Compass is a rapidly growing, free weekly newspaper throughout eastern North Carolina. At the County Compass, we believe small business is the future of our great nation. Many small business owners have discovered that an ad in the County Compass each week is the most effective, the most affordable way to reach thousands of readers from all walks of life. At the County Compass, we focus entirely on local and regional news. Coverage of important issues that directly affect your life. At the County Compass, we love our readers and we love our advertisers. This Thursday and every Thursday at more than 750 distribution points throughout eastern North Carolina, pick up your free copy of the County Compass newspaper.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern. For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out rightwinggranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to rightwinggranny.com.